Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And joining us again in the studio today, because we just couldn't talk enough about tomatoes last week, is Dave Turner, president of the El Paso Master Gardener Association and vegetable specialist with the Texas Master Gardeners. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, in case you missed our conversation from last week, we do have it archived on our website, ktep.org, on the Good to Grow page. But we were talking about tomatoes, and there is always a lot to cover when it comes to tomatoes. So we sort of want to recap a little bit about what we were talking about. When people are going shopping for tomatoes, like if they were to go to a grocery store, to a nursery, there's tomatoes pretty much everywhere that you look. But if you look on the tag, it says something there about indeterminate or determinate. So let's go over those terms one more time.
Okay. Determinate tomato plants grow to a certain height, usually about 4 feet, and then they actually stop growing, but they still produce tomatoes. But they grow to a certain height and then growth ceases. Indeterminate tomatoes continue to grow throughout the whole season, and they'll grow until it gets too cold for the plant and the plant dies. So we have seen them like 7 to 8 feet tall. So you have to keep that in mind that you're going to need some more room for that indeterminate tomato if that's the one that you buy. So that's what you need to look out for.
And one of my favorite examples of indeterminate tomatoes are the cherry tomatoes. Those guys will put on fruit and go on throughout the entire season. So those you really need to be careful and plant with enough space around there. And Dave and I always talk about tomatoes, and I was a big proponent of cherry tomatoes because I do have a children's garden in my backyard. We're out there very often. So as far as harvesting and maintaining that, I mean, I have the little hands to help.
and who doesn't love just to pluck one off the vine?
Right.
Pop it in your mouth.
Right,
it's
exactly. But they become really big monsters. Yeah. The plants, not the kids.
Well, them too, I'm sure. Give them some time, Denise.
It is a good snack to the kids, too, by
right,
the way.
Right, exactly.
Well, let's say your plants do get too big. Can you prune down a tomato plant?
Yes, you can. You can absolutely prune them and control them that way. You won't hurt the plant itself at all.
Well, also, one thing that you see a lot in nurseries and in garden centers right now are tomato cages, also stakes. I mean, what is the preferable tool to use when you have a tomato? Or does it depend on the type of tomato that you're planting?
It doesn't really depend that much on the type of tomato. You can grow any type of tomato either way. So it's what's your preference.
I also think staking takes a lot more maintenance involved in that.
Yeah, say that.
Because you put your cage on there, and as long as your cage is firmly in place in the soil, I mean, your plant's already in there. It's just going to grow up and around it. A stake, you need to train it. Follow that stake and follow that leader and have the correct tie downs for that. You don't want to crush the stems, but...
And you have to change that, adjust that,
yeah,
that tying throughout the growing season. As it grows, you're going to have to add more ties, and you might have to loosen the ties up a little bit because you put them too tight.
Right.
As the stem grows. So it's more labor, but it's a labor of love, but it is more labor. If you're out in your garden a lot, it's...
I prefer cages, growing tomatoes in them. If you buy them at the store, they come in all different fashionable colors. But more importantly, you can make your own cages. And I think that's important because you can recycle them year after year. I know the gardeners do that. What are some tips in getting a cage established and making your own cages?
We like to make our own because we grow so many tomatoes out of our garden that it's just cost prohibitive to us to buy, you know, that many cages. So we use the rebar wire that you buy that they put in cement to strengthen the cement. And then we cut it to length and wrap it into a circle. Cut the bottoms off so they have prongs, and then just stick them in the ground, and then use some mechanism to anchor them, either stakes or some sort of a hook that we drive into the ground to hold them down. So, but they work very well, and they're certainly a lot more cost effective for us.
And you use it for several years,
but
right?
It's more labor, and you can use them over and over again. Correct.
So you would put the cage over the tomato plant while it's still young, like Denise was saying, so it will just sort of grow around it.
That's an excellent point. I recommend you put the cage around it the day you plant it.
Ah.
And the reason for that is that we now is the time to plant them in El Paso. And tomato plants, especially young tomato plants, are highly susceptible to wind. The wind will kill the plant. And obviously, if we're planting them now, this is the windy season in El Paso. So if you put the cage on it now and then you wrap it, the cage, with either garden fabric or take a white or clear plastic bag and cut the bottom off it and put it over the cage and then clip them with clothespins. That will protect them from the wind and also give them a little bit of protection if it happens to get cold. So put the cages on right away.
It has something to do with those grocery store bags that everybody has lying around, I think.
Yeah. Want to make sure that, exactly. You want to make sure that you keep those a light-colored trash bags on there. You can use that, even a fabric, even old sheets will actually work really well, too, because they provide that physical barrier from the wind hitting it. But yet you're not having a dark color where it's trying to absorb too much heat and you don't want to end up cooking.
But you want to take those sheets off, though, when it's not windy.
Yes.
When the wind dies down. And basically, the end of April, maybe the first week in May, if it's still a little windy.
So about for the first month that you have them in the ground?
Yeah. At that time, the plant will start to fill up that cage, and it'll want to grow out of it anyway. So you've got to get a
bigger cage?
But you got to take that fabric or the plastic off so that it can.
So it's okay if it grows out of the cage.
That's okay. Absolutely.
That's what it's for.
Absolutely. The cage is just to support it, not to control it.
Well, you were talking last week during the show about why some people call the master gardeners and say, I have so many blooms on my tomato plant, but it's not producing any fruit. And then you've asked, when did you plant it? And they'll say sometime in May. You were saying just a little while ago that now is the time to plant your tomatoes. Don't wait too much longer because of the increasing temperatures. So let's go over that information again one more time. You said that there is, a certain window, I think, that is best for producing fruit.
Right. The tomato blossoms, they won't set and make an actual tomato when the temperatures are too warm. And those temperatures are 92 degrees during the daytime and 75 degrees at night. So when you get temperatures that are above those two numbers, the tomato blossoms, or at least not very many of them, will set to make tomatoes. That happens very early in the year. That happens in, by mid-May at the latest. So if you get them in the ground now, last of March, beginning of April, that gives them time to get, several tomatoes, set on each plant. And those tomatoes will now continue to grow and ripen. And they won't all grow and ripen at the same time. It'll be stretched out over the course of the summer.
And higher temperatures also lead these plants to wilt. So if people see their plant looking sort of droopy and sad, which they do, they shouldn't pull it out of the ground or the pot.
No,
right?
No. Well, it kind of depends a little bit on what time of day you're seeing that. If you're seeing it in the afternoon and it's in the upper 90s or 100 degrees and it's a little droopy and your soil is still moist, I wouldn't be concerned. But check it again the next morning and see if it's recovered, because it could have been caused just because it was too hot. However, if it's in the morning and it's, looking like that, then you need to increase your water. It's not, it doesn't have enough water, so.
Right, and that's putting the plant at a higher amount of stress when it is really wilted in the morning time. So that's really a key thing to look out. And this is not just exclusive for tomatoes.
That's for all plants.
So once a plant is producing tomatoes, do you find that it needs more water or more frequent watering at that time? Because I remember a couple of years ago I had a tomato in a pot and I had to water it almost twice a day because it just really seemed to just suck up all that water so quickly. So is that water you're giving to the plant being eventually used to produce that tomato, the actual physical water that you use in the pot?
I think the reason why you had to water so frequently was because, not so much for the tomato, but the plant itself, because it was in a container. So inherently, plants that are grown in containers need more water because their roots and their potting soil is exposed to those extreme temperatures, that sun beating down on them during the daytime, which is why you had to increase the watering on that. But as far as your tomato irrigation, I think just a general rule of thumb needs to be that your irrigation system needs to be monitored and checked and adjusted throughout the year, because at this time, tomatoes are setting new leaves and roots. But also, you know, you don't want to overwater them when they're starting to ripen, because a lot of times that can lead to other issues too. So I think it's a little bit about, you know, experimentation and experience that you have, Bill, and working to see what works best. And we all have different soils that we work in.
And that really is the key, is the different soils. Everybody's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And sometimes shade in a particularly a backyard garden is a factor. Sometimes they're not getting enough sun. Sometimes they're getting 12 and 14 hours of sun. So it just really depends on each individual situation.
Well, I also know a frequent question that master gardeners may get is they notice something on their tomato. Is it black spot when you don't water enough and something appears?
I think you're talking about blossom end rot.
Blossom end rot, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's two theories of what causes blossom end rot. One of them is infrequent watering. The other one is a calcium deficiency.
We have enough calcium in our soils.
We have plenty of calcium, so it's probably infrequent watering. And I've also noticed, too, I'm sure Dave has noticed this, that certain varieties tend to have blossom end rot. Roma tomatoes tend to have blossom end rot. As a rule, maybe 30, 40, 50% of those tomatoes all have blossom end rot, no matter how you water. So it's just inherent in that variety.
Yeah. And that brings me to bring up mulching, too, which is something that's very important to do for several reasons. And one of them is blossom end rot, and another one is cracking of tomatoes. If you mulch properly, you will help to reduce those. You won't get rid of them, but you'll help to reduce those. But also, it will do a couple of other things. One, it will help to retain that moisture in the soil so that you don't have to water quite as frequently. And then the fourth thing that it does is it protects the plants from soil-borne diseases. Soil-borne diseases don't come up through the roots like you might think. They actually come up because the soil comes in contact with the leaves. So if you have plenty of mulch between the soil and the leaves, then you help to prevent that problem. So the best way that I have found to mulch, actually, is to put 6 or 7 layers of newspaper on the ground and then cover that with 2 inches of mulch. If you don't use the newspaper, then you need to put about 4 inches of mulch. So you're saving yourself a lot of money. Plus, it really works. We did a test last year where we put the newspapers in one of our gardens and we didn't put them in the other garden, and we were fighting weeds all year long, the one without the newspaper. So it really, really works very well.
And do you want to mulch right away as soon as you put your plant in the ground?
Not really. Wait until the end of April or the beginning of March. And the reason for that is that you want to get the soil temperature up. If you put the mulch down too early, it slows down soil temperature coming up. And the tomatoes prefer that temperature to be high. So if you wait until the end of April when the soil temperature is up, then do your mulching.
Well, we're out of time again, unfortunately. But if listeners have any questions about tomatoes, vegetables, or anything else having to do with gardening, the Master Gardeners are available through the Master Gardener Hotline. That number is 566-1276. Call 566-1276. And, well, Dave Turner, it's been great having you back here. We're going to have you back again.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Well, Dave Turner is the president of the El Paso Master Gardener Association and vegetable specialist with the Texas Master Gardeners. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.